Peace. Peace be with you. That's what Jesus said. That's what He taught. Peace. Over and over in the Scriptures, we hear that word. Hundreds of times that word occurs. Peace. 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 I want all of us today, we're going to do something a little different. I want us to just turn to somebody and offer them a handshake and say those words to them. Peace be with you. 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 We used to have a time of greeting like this in the church every Sunday morning. I miss that. You know, Jesus instructed believers to reconcile situations with other believers before worshiping. And at the time, it was when they were bringing offerings to sacrifice. He said, if you have something against somebody or something, go and make peace with them. And Paul taught, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is important to us in our walk, folks. That peace that was brought by Christ is not peace on earth. He said so. He said, you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, no, no. He reconciled us to the Father. He broke down that separation that existed between us and Israel, the covenant people. There's no longer a separation. There's five passages in Scripture that instruct believers to greet one another with a holy kiss, a sign of peace, a warm greeting. One translation says it's the kiss of peace. Another says that it's the special greeting of God's people. Historians say that the early believers exchanged this kiss of peace during the service. Every service. This was something that Jesus commanded. It was something that His apostles taught. And yet, somehow we've gotten away from it. Early baptismal records show that this was reserved only for those that had already been baptized. And they would dismiss those who hadn't been baptized. And then they'd exchange this kiss of peace or this sign of peace. And as I said, eventually, this idea of exchanging a sign of peace was dropped altogether. But then, in recent history, it was revived. Eventually, I think we'll find that this is something that we can do more frequently and with true love, the love of Christ. Early believers saw the link between peace and spiritual unity. As a congregation, we have unity in Christ. We have that. And if we have any disharmony or disunity, then we need to work on that as a body, truly. In our society, shaking hands is a sign of peace. Peace in the body is a part of following the Prince of Peace. In other societies, as the Japanese, for example, they bow as a sign of peace. The Middle Easterns and Europeans will kiss on the cheek. Either one or both. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, by the way. To them, it doesn't matter. Because it's a sign of peace. I'm convinced that we live in the time before Christ's return. I really believe we're nearing, you know, in the timeline of God, obviously. He said He's going to return. We're closer now than they were 2,000 years ago, and they were waiting for it as if it were going to imminently occur. And unfortunately, there are some who don't believe that there's going to be a resurrection. There are some who don't believe that that there's going to be a second coming. And others have been taught to believe that it's going to be different than what the Scripture teaches. But you know, He says He's going to come in power. And every eye is going to see Him in His majesty. That's the coming that we celebrate. That's the coming that we await. And it makes celebrating His coming an even greater treasure. He's going to come in power. He's not going to come as a little baby. He's going to come in majesty. I want us to praise Him today for teaching us to remain watchful. I want Him to receive our thanks for Him helping us not to be distracted with the rest of the world. The whole world's distracted from the coming of Christ. We're distracted in many ways, folks. And we need to remember that it's His coming in the first place that brought peace for us with God. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. I want us to praise God that He trusts us to persevere in His peace. If you will, open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 9. This is the same area we started with last Sunday. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. We're going to hear, again, Isaiah tell of the coming Messiah. He tells of this child that will be born, who will be referred to by many names and titles, one of which is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read verses 6 and 7. And this is what we hear there. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. And we can take some of this out of context. We can take it out of context, or we can accept it as it's given. It's not just speaking of the baby. It's speaking of the one who's going to reside in power. And they, at that time, missed what it meant. And Jesus Himself, during His ministry, told them that they missed it. They missed the point. It wasn't about Him coming on earth as much as it was in power forever, in eternity, because He's bringing peace. He is the Prince of Peace for all who will come to God through Him. This prophecy of the one that we call Jesus of Nazareth, this was fulfilled. His name is Yeshua. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Messiah. The root words that are translated Prince and Peace, those two words, are offering us insight into the peace that our Messiah bought. He bought it for all who will turn through Him away from sin. The Hebrew root word for peace there is shalom. Ever hear the song, Shalom, my good friend? Shalom, my good friend. It does mean peace. The Hebrew root word means completeness, means soundness, well-being, means hope of wholeness for believers, eternal wholeness. And it means quiet and tranquility and contentment. It was also used to mean a truce or a treaty. Jesus made that truce between us and God. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. We are of the household of God. We are of the family of God. Therein is our peace. And this root word also means peace between people. It means friendship versus enemies. It means in human relationships and also in our relationship with God. And I stress that because it's important that we recognize that we have peace with God. Even when there's not peace on earth. We want there to be peace on earth, but there's not. Let's just face it, folks. It's a rough world, but we have peace with God. And no matter what the world brings, our peace cannot be taken away from us. Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Shalom means peace from war, too. Jesus is the author of peace for all who accept His offer. The covenant. Like a contract. We accept what He offers and we receive it. The covenant has conditions. He paid the price. We adhere to what He wants from us. We surrender our lives to Him. We do not become a part of the covenant without surrender. Give ourselves over to Him. We were enemies with God, but we've been brought to peace by Jesus Christ, and so He is called the Prince of Peace. And the root word for prince in our text is sar. It means prince, ruler, leader, one in command, head of a clan, and authorized representative. Remember, Jesus said, "I have been given all authority." All authority was given to Him. He was authorized to make peace between us and God. He was the only one that was authorized to do that. And that word is also used in reference to God as the ruler of rulers. Do you think there's any earthly ruler right now, no matter what their title is, do you think any one of them aren't going to answer to Almighty God? There's not one that will not bow their knee. They will bow their knee before Jesus Christ when He comes in power. Christ is the chief. He's the head. He's the overseer. He's over all positions of authority inside and outside of the church. And that includes our deacons and our elders and yours truly, the pastor. All representative leaders of the people are under the Prince of Peace. Peace. Calm. Tranquility. Harmony. Serenity. These are words that can instill the qualities of what they mean. So I want you to say them with me. Peace. Calm. Tranquility. Harmony. Serenity. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Whew. That's powerful. Because with that, we have peace. The serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I can't change what these world leaders are doing. I can't change what's happening anywhere else in the world. I can hardly change the things that are happening in my own life. But I can trust that God can. And I can have courage to change the things that I can. And there are some of you in this room right here that know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you're working in your lives and in the lives of others to bring change that you can make. Because God's not done with you yet. He's got work for you to do. And you know it. And that wisdom, you know what you can change and you know what you can't. And so you reside in peace, working on those things that you can change. Jesus offered peace to humanity. It wasn't earthly peace. It was spiritual peace. And He's the author of peace, the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah calls Him. That's what we call Him. At this time of year, when we look back at His birth, the coming, the first coming, we can't lose sight that we're looking forward to His return. Because that's what it's really about for us. You can accept His peace that transcends human reasoning. You can have peace with God by Jesus Christ. But if you're an enemy, don't you want peace? Do you want to be an enemy of God? Or do you want to be at peace with God? It's important. Absolutely. We want to be at peace with God. You know, in Luke's gospel record, we learn that an angel visited shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They weren't watching sheep in December. That date was chosen because of the pagan festival of Saturnalia and all of that. We celebrate because we look at the birth of Jesus. Because that's what was changed to. We don't know when He was absolutely born. We don't know the exact date. But these men that the angel visited were very afraid, but the angel calmed their fears. He calmed their fears by saying, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." We're all familiar with that passage, right? The baby in a manger. We remember that at this time of year, where we get some of the information that's related to the first coming of Christ, the one who would save humanity. A little further on, we learn that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This babe was the peacemaker. He was the one that was going to put us right with God. He was the one that was going to bring us into peace with God. He told us He wasn't going to bring earthly peace. He said, "You think I'm going to bring earthly peace, peace on earth, but that's not what I'm bringing." He said, "I'll set families at division with one another. I'll set people apart because of what I bring." The peace that He brought is not peace on earth. Oh, we say it at this time of year, but that's not what He said. In Acts chapter 10, we hear what Peter preached. God has no respect of persons, but in every nation, he that fears Him and works righteousness is accepted with Him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. Peace is not earthly peace. But that's the message of the gospel. Peace. It's a message we have to be prepared to spread. That's written in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. We're to spread the gospel of peace. It's the message of our captain, our commander, our Lord. Humanity received a great gift in the coming of our Messiah. It's a gift that's completed in His coming upon the clouds. That gift is completed upon His return. And He'll judge the world and gather His followers together. The Prince of Peace is described throughout Scripture, and for time's sake, I'm not going to read all of these. You can read Colossians chapter 1. In all things, He'd have preeminence. He'll be the first. He'll be the Prince, the King. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, He reconciles all things to Himself. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, you receive that peace. In Romans chapter 5, we were once enemies, reconciled to God. We were made at peace with God. In Romans chapter 10, it's written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace. Isaiah said, "Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end." Of the increase of peace, there shall be no end. Because He's going to be bringing souls in until eternity. And there will be no end to that peace. That peace is eternal peace. Eternal peace with Almighty God that each and every one of you, souls that God created, can have. By Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, we studied this in our Sunday school lesson today. We learned that Jesus is our peace. He broke down that separation between Jewish and non-Jewish people. There's no more Israel in the sense that it was then. We're all a part of Israel. It's how He made peace for us with God. He brought us back to God in one body by His cross. He came with the good news of peace for those who were far away and those who were near. That's the peace that we have. That's the peace that we celebrate. Or at least that we should be. Why you're no longer foreigners and outsiders? Because Christ made the way. He's the cornerstone. And all the parts, each one of us, are being built together for a temple, for the habitation of God. God with us. Emmanuel. We're going to sing that. O come, Emmanuel. He's coming in us. He came as a baby. He's going to return, but each and every day, He's coming in us and into the world through us. Let's not get so caught up in looking back that we forget to look forward. Isaiah said that this prince would be the king upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God is zealously desiring that more people will come to Him. He did that by the work of Jesus Christ. It's the work of God that brought peace and the everlasting kingdom of peace to humanity. And so as we celebrate His first coming, because I know we're in that tradition, I want us to share His message of peace. Share His message of peace with all that you encounter. Tell somebody. If you're sure that they don't know Him, you've got a burden on your soul. You've got a burden to share that message of peace, the peace that Christ made between us and Almighty God. God made peace possible. We didn't deserve it, and we couldn't accomplish it without Jesus Christ. But God made that peace possible. He made it happen through low and humble circumstances that the Prince of Peace would bring peace to all. And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember, peace be with you. It's a greeting that Jesus used, and it's one that you can use. He used this greeting to His disciples when He stood among them after He arose. He repeated it again when they recognized Him, and He said it again when He visited them 8 days later. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I believe whenever He pronounced that peace upon them, that it actually fell on them. That they received it. And they understood it. And they took it and they shared it with others. Before His death, He told His closest friends not to let their hearts be troubled. Peace I leave with you. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. But He added, not as the world gives do I give to you. It's not worldly peace. It's heavenly peace. He said, I have said this to you so that you may have peace. I want you to think about this one we call Jesus, who humbled Himself in coming to earth to create peace between us and the Father. And I know this isn't the traditional message of Christmas. But it's the authentic message of the Bible for this time. As we prepare for His coming, as we celebrate this season that's called coming, the Advent, think about this one who humbled Himself, and let's humble ourselves. Let's humble ourselves and offer peace to others. It's His peace that you offer to one another. It's His peace that unites us. It's His peace that revokes the chokehold of Satan. It's His peace that passes understanding. Yes, it's His peace that I want to be with you today. And every day as we await His coming. Maranatha. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You for the coming of this one who humbled Himself, Your Son. We thank You that You came to be with us, in us. Help us, Father, to realize the peace that is within us as members of Your kingdom, as a part of those, that body which has been brought by the sacrifice provided, one that we couldn't make for ourselves. Help us, Lord, to look forward to this coming, the return of the One who came. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace be with you.